Let us all say amen and want to thank the great God of heaven who has allowed our moments to roll on this afternoon, that we are able through technology to assemble here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I want to thank the men that have gone before me in these orders of services. Thankful for the songs led by our brother. Thankful for both men that offered very good prayers on our behalf to the Lord. Thankful for the scripture that was read that we will be studying on this afternoon. And I'm just thankful to God for another opportunity to be before you, to preach the word of God, to share those things that God has given to those in what we call the Bible, the Word of God. I want to say to those that first, to those that may be assembling with us, know for others, I'm from Florida, and this weather, if you're living in the Houston, greater Houston area, cold weather to me, but hopefully you are someplace where it is warmer. And I'm going to ask and challenge you to stir up your hearts, warm it, your minds. I would encourage you to take notes that are spoken on this afternoon, that you can go back and review those notes and or ask questions concerning what is preached on this afternoon. I want to say first to those that are not members of the Church of Christ, I want to share with you some foundational things, and you can take notes of this. In Jeremiah chapter 10, and the verse is number 23, Jeremiah recognized something when he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." It was not in man to direct himself. Jeremiah realized that. And then Jesus said to those in his what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, to those that would later obey him and become Christians, he shared with those people in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33, he prioritized life for them when he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So Jesus made what to be a priority for a person's life, and that is to seek first the kingdom. Find the kingdom of God. And then when Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse number 3 came to Jesus by night, Jesus answered and said unto him in John 3:3, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So that was Jesus said one was to see. Jesus said, unless a person was born again and this birth is spiritual, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then that kingdom is spoken of in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. When the Bible records, Luke wrote, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So those that are saved, that should be saved, is in the church. And those that are added to the church are those that are added to that which Jesus said to seek, and that was that is the kingdom of God, which is the church. And so I will share with you at the close of my message those steps of obedience that one must do for one to be added to the church, and therefore one is saved or delivered from their sins. On this afternoon, I'm excited and thankful that I have a subject that can look at the church holistically. Peter wrote to those, and our subject title this afternoon is the elders, which are among you, I exhort. Yeah. That's what Peter said as we continue in this letter that Peter wrote to Christians, but in what is referred to as 1 Peter 5 and verse, starting at verse number 1, Peter wrote to, gave instructions to those men that serve the church in the office or the capacity as elders. And I want to share this message because we have men, and I'll share with what God has said. Men, I know that roam and walk the aisles and the halls of Highland Heights Church of Christ and other congregations. Men that have the fabric, the potential to become elders in the Lord's church. And so I want to speak to you regarding this. And then for those that those married men and their wives, wives can encourage your husband to serve as elders in the Lord's church. And we'll talk about the importance of that eldership, because a congregation is not fully organized until it has those offices, capacity that the Lord has given in the Word of God. Does not mean that the congregation cannot do those things that are set, but again, a fully organized, and we'll share that in from the Word of God, is when those offices and positions that the Lord has given are in place. And so I want to start off by saying, we serve a God who is orderly and who has put in place through his word things with an arrangement. We serve a God who's orderly and who has put in place through his word things with an arrangement. Look first at 1 Timothy 3 and 14 as we look at arrangement. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and the verse is number 14. Paul, in writing to Timothy in his first letter, he said, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, if I'm delayed, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So we see here that God talks about the church as being the house of God. The house of God. And so when we look at the arrangement, we're looking at a house. It is the church of the living God, is the house of God. And then in Ephesians 3, and the verse is 14. Ephesians 3, and the verse is 14. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He said, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The Church of Christ is arranged as a spiritual house and a spiritual family that is organized by God for the purpose which he intended. So a fully organized family, one that has a father, a mother, and children. Yeah, a fully organized family. So in the church, for the church to be fully organized, those areas, as we look in the Word of God, that shows us those things of how a church, a spiritual family, spiritual house is organized. How is the Church of Christ organized and for what purpose? Look over in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 11. Paul wrote, and he, talking about Christ, gave some. First in the church we had apostles. He said, and some prophets, and some evangelists. We call him the preacher. And some pastors, which is another form of the word elders, and teachers. So you see that when you have a congregation that is fully organized, you have those areas that God has intended. You have the evangelist, you have the pastor, you have those that serve the elders as deacons, you have teachers in the Lord's church. And he said, what is the purpose? He said, notice, he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the church has three functions in that is given by Paul to the Ephesian church. It is for the perfecting of the saints. What is perfecting? Perfecting is the process of developing something or someone over a period of time or maturing. So one of the purposes God has, the evangelists, pastors, the teachers, it is for the maturing or development of the church. Secondly, Paul said, it is for the work of the ministry. The ministry is the function of serving or service. As I've said before, everyone that's a member of the body of Christ ought to be serving in some capacity. You are there to serve. It is a work of the ministry. You are serving in the body in some capacity. We have several ministries for those that assemble locally with us at Highland High Church of Christ. Several ministries, but one ought to be serving in the ministry. And then he says, for the edifying or the building or adding to the body of Christ. When we add members to the Lord, we're building the body of Christ. And so the threefold function, we do that through evangelism, evangelizing, adding those, preaching the gospel to those that are outside. The word church means those that are called out from the world into the church. And that's those that are called out of the world. I obeyed the Lord. I became a Christian. I was added to the church. So when we look at the Church of Christ organizationally and then as a purpose, we got to go to the scriptures. Have to go to the scriptures. And then let us look at our text on this afternoon where Peter begins, which is my subject title, the elders which are among you I exhort. So Peter now was encouraging those that served as elders, he said, which are among you. So that tells us that those elders serve locally. We'll see that in the text also. But he says, when we talk about an elder, what is an elder in the Church of Christ? I'm not talking about in denominationalism. I'm talking about strictly those that are elders in the Church of Christ. I want you to understand basically three words that Peter gives that identifies the functions of one that is an elder. If you would, go to Acts chapter 20. Acts the 20th chapter, and we'll see these words before us, three words before us that identifies the elder. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus," talking about the Apostle Paul, "to Ephesus, and called the elders," plural, "of the church," singular. So when you're talking about elders at a congregation, elders must always be in a plurality, and the church in the singular. There is no such thing as one elder. It must be a plurality of elders that serve in the church. So when we talk about the word elder, elder speaks to their maturity of spiritual experience, an aged person, one that the word elder comes from. So we're talking about someone that has spiritual experience, mature, that we're talking about, the word elder. And then in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, we find the other two words. So the word elder, again, speaks to the maturity, spiritual experience or maturity of that individual. And then in Acts 20, 28, Luke wrote that Paul said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves," talking to the elders, "and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." So we find there two other words that we want to horn in on, and Peter repeats it in his letter. But he said to them to take heed to yourselves. We'll talk about what that means in Peter's letter. "And to all the flock." And so the flock here are to be cared for by the elders. The elders are to care for the flock. So the flock here, the church or the members are styled as sheep, or one that is easily influenced or led. Sheep are to be led by the shepherd. And so as a member, I have a mindset of wanting to be led, to be influenced by those that serve as elders. And then he said, "over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers." And we'll talk about that. But overseers is the second word. Overseers, oftentimes when you see compound words in the Bible that's been translated to English, oftentimes the compound words are given in reverse order. It doesn't necessarily mean to see over, to oversee, but it means to see over. They are to look or to watch over. So a second function of the those that are elders serving the capacity, they are to watch over those that are sheep, those that are the flock, those that are Christians, that are members of the body of Christ, where they worship locally. Yeah, so we'll see that again in the text. And then, so again, the word means to see over or to watch over or to look over those that are sheep. Not only to care for them, and the caring is continuous caring for them. If they are sick, when they're healthy, learning the sheep, learning how to care for them. And then he says, to feed, third word, to feed the church of God. And so to feed is a person whose job, again, is to take care of the flock. So the elders are styled as a shepherd, to feed to watch over. And we find that they are to influence or to lead the flock. And the Bible says, which Christ has purchased with his own blood. And so as we go back into Peter, we'll find the same words or terminology used when Peter says the elders, which are among you, I exhort, which am also an elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So Peter says here that he's also an elder. But he also repeats again to us. He said it in 1 Peter 3:18, once there and then also. But notice how often Peter reminds those that were Christians of the sufferings of Christ. Peter said he witnessed it. He saw the sufferings of Christ, and he wanted to instill in the minds of us, and for those of us that are Christians today, we want to implant in our hearts that Christ suffered for us on the cross. He died, shed his blood, purchased the church. Peter said, I want to remind you, those elders, and that you are a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And so he says here, notice again, he said, not only he said the word elders, but then he said, feed. Feed, we talk about that. Caring for the flock of God, which is among you, which is meaning it's a local congregation. Taking the oversight thereof. Remember, we said the compound word, it doesn't mean you're over someone, but it is my sight is over. Thereof, he says, not by constraint. He said, but do it willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, of a ready mind. So again, he speaks that to the heart of the elder, one that you don't take it by constraint, but you do it. The people are willing to follow you. You're not concerned about gain, but you have a ready mind. And so, as I said earlier, the Holy Spirit has given the qualifications of an elder. The Holy Spirit, where Luke says, oh, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Well, the Holy Spirit has given the qualification. There is a type of experience that makes someone suitable to do the particular job or work of an elder. And so Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, Timothy was at a local congregation. And so Paul wrote to Timothy while he was in Ephesus, and he said to him in 1 Timothy 3, beginning at verse number 1, let's look at the qualifications of an elder, because I want those that desiring what Paul said need to understand and know these qualifications or characteristics allows one to fulfill their responsibility. Now, I'll talk about how one person has three responsibilities, but he said this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop. Now, the word bishop is from the same word we get overseer. He desires a good work. A bishop, that's talking about the duties or responsibilities. Then must be blameless. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality after tea. So he says that when he says the bishop must be blameless, that cannot be laid hold of or to blame something someone can lay hold on you or to blame you. He says a bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife, he must be vigilant, he must be sober. of good behavior. We'll talk about that. And given to hospitality, meaning he's a generous and friendly person to other people. That's his spirit. That's his disposition. And he also, excuse me, must be apt to teach, or he must be skilled in teaching the word of God. Then he says, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. So he says, this same person is not one that drinks. He's not a striker. He doesn't hit someone in a fight. He doesn't hit people. Not guilty of filthy lucre. He's not one that's trying to get gain, but he's patient. He's not a brawler. And brawler comes from the fact that when one is drinking, oftentimes they want to fight. He's not a brawler, not covetous, not one that is a lover of money. That's not him. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So he says the word rule here means to lead. He leads his family. He doesn't drive his family. A shepherd leads the sheep. He said, having his children in subjection. In other words, his children are obedient to him. They will obey him because of his leadership. His children are in subjection. And he said, with all gravity, they are respectful of their father. He said, for if a man, verse 5, know not how to rule or lead his own house, how shall he take care, notice the word, care of the church of God? So one shows through example and practice with his own household that he can lead or care for God's household. Excuse me. Then he says, verse number 6, not a novice, not a new member, one that is inexperienced. Why? Paul said it, least being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. The devil can be at work when men desire to serve as elders. He said, so Paul says, not a novice, not a new member, not a new member, least he be lifted up and the devil takes him down. He said, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, or those that are outside the church, lest he fall into reproach and again the snare or the trap of the devil. If you, those that are, excuse me, that are serving elders, not only have a report within, but also without, those that are outside the church, where you, if he still works on his job, his neighbors, they have or should have, if they're honest, good things or pleasant things to say about the one that serves an elder. He says, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And so you have to be careful with these. So these are the qualifications that are given by God through the Holy Spirit for those men that desire to serve as an elder. And then in Hebrews 13:15, before I get back to 1 Peter 5, in Hebrews 13, and the verse is number 17, notice what the Hebrew writer said regarding elders. It says, and it's talking to those of us that are members, those that are sheep, obey them that have the rule over you and the ones that are leading you. Notice this. And submit yourself. For they, notice the word overseer, they watch for your soul. They watch for your soul. Why? As they that must give an account to God, that they do it, notice now, with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Those that serve as elders, those that serve in this capacity ought to do it with joy and not with grief, because that's not beneficial to you. So I've talked about the eldership being one that is an elder, one that is an overseer, to watch over, one that is to care or to feed the flock. Now, I'll use myself as an example to show how those three capacities, and I'll give you scripture. For the lack of time, I'll give you scripture. You can go back in and search it from the Ephesians letter. If I were to stand before my dad as a son, I want to mature before my dad. Ephesians 4:13 talks about a perfect man or a mature man. So again, one of the functions of an elder is that he is mature. That's why he's called an elder. So as a son before my father, I want to mature. Secondly, as a husband, Ephesians 5:28 and 29 talks about one that nourishes and cherishes, meaning I care for my wife. One responsibility of an elder is to care for the flock or to feed the flock. Care for. As a husband, I care. My responsibility is to care for my wife, to care for her health, to care for her her spiritual growth. I care for her in all those areas. And then Ephesians 6 and 4, as a father, where Paul says to the father, bring them up, talking about your children, in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. That means watching my children. So I'm one person, but I am to mature, I am to care for, and I am to watch. Same responsibilities that God has given to elders. They are to be matured, they are to care for the flock, they also are to watch for the souls of the flock. So again, one person, three responsibilities that's given by God. And then as I move toward a close, in 1 Peter 5, back in verse number 3, so we've talked about the word elders, the word feed, and the word oversight or sight over or to watch for. And then Paul talks to, speaks to the elder. Now he deals with the possible negativity of an elder. He says, neither as being lords over God's heritage. This is God's heritage. And the word lord means the power to rule or control. You're lording over people. That ought not be the spirit of an elder. Peter says that neither is being lords over God's heritage. You don't control or try to rule people. He says in the scriptures, but being examples to the flock. The word examples mean a way of behaving that is seen as a model that should be followed, and it's a pattern for others. So as an elder, one is not to try to lord over, but you are to be an example to the flock. That's what Peter told them. You are be a role model. That doesn't mean that you are sin less, but you sin less. And from a consistency basis, you are matured. You are able to deal with situations in the right spirit. And you'll find that that as an elder, that's the person that's the word elder talks about, the person has some age on him. Age on him, that he's mature. He's not young in the Lord, but he's mature. And so Peter says here, don't be lords over God's heritage. Be examples to them. Then he says, and when? the chief shepherd. Now, you are styled as a shepherd, but Peter referred to the chief shepherd, talking about Jesus Christ when he shall appear. Peter says, those that serve as elders, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Those that serve in the capacity. So I want to offer encouragement to those young men as you raise your children, you love your wife, look at those qualifications and to groom yourself and those areas that one needs to develop in. You can develop those areas as a Christian, as a husband, as a father, that one desires to serve as an elder. And so Peter spoke to that, to those Christians. He spoke to those that were elder, but I also wanted those that are members of the Church of Christ to understand what eldership means. What is the definition of the word elder? How do they function in the Lord's body? Not only Peter was talking to elders, but those that work up under him, that serve up under, that are to be led by him. You need to understand their functions as an elder. And so this afternoon I've tried to do that from the Word of God. The elders which are among you, Paul said, Peter said, I exhort. And so I'm exhorting those that may have a desire to serve in this capacity. Hopefully your wives will be supportive, your children will line up under you in subjection and allow you to mature and become that person that if you desire to serve in that capacity, you can, according to what the Holy Spirit has given as those capacities. And so if you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, in 1 Peter 3:18, it is referred to another place as the gospel, where Peter, again, when he talked about the sufferings of Christ, he shared with them in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Holy Spirit. So Peter talked about how Christ was the just who suffered for the unjust. All of us are sinners, and Christ died for us that he might bring us to God through his death and his blood being shed on the cross. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, made him alive again. How does one become a Christian? You hear the gospel. You believe the gospel, what I just shared with you. You repent of your sins, meaning you turn from the life you've been living. Now you turn toward Christ. That's the beginning of repentance. You make the confession of what you believe in your heart and what I just shared, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. You believe that, and you make that confession according to Acts 8:37, that you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then Peter said in verse number 21, when he talked about in verse 20, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure, what figure? Water, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, being obedient to God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So one becomes a Christian by fulfilling his obedience, hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of sin, confessing that Jesus Christ is Son of God. Then the culmination of that obedience is in water baptism for the forgiveness of all your past sins, and the Lord will add you to the Church of Christ, what we shared in Acts 2:47. I thank you this afternoon for your patience, and hopefully I've encouraged and reminded you or shared with you those guidelines that the Lord has given regarding those that serve as elders that are among us. I thank you very much. I turn the services back over to those that are in control. Thank you.